Hello, everyone. Eric here from after the recording of this episode. As I'm going through and editing, it seems that my audio cuts in and out a lot. I'm not really sure why or what happened there, but I will get that addressed before the next episode. Just a little warning ahead of time, I suppose, that it's a little rough to listen to me. There's not a lot I can do, unfortunately, to fix that, but it's much more important that you hear what David has to say. Okay, that's all. We'll get to the episode now. Welcome back to Sweet Script Stories. My name is Eric. Today, my guest is David Barr, creator and developer of Assurance Testing, a Sweet app for automated testing in NetSuite. David, welcome to the show.
Hey, Eric. Thank you so much for having me. I've seen a lot of your content online on LinkedIn and was definitely honored when you reached out to have a chat.
Yeah, I'm really curious to hear about Assurance. So can you give me the little introduction, a rundown to what Assurance is? First of all, what problem does it solve?
Yeah, so Assurance is a Sweet bundle that is a framework for automated testing, specifically server-side scripts. So your RESTlets, your MapReduces, really what it tries to do is mirror the way you would manually test something. And when you automate that, you get all sorts of efficiencies and unlocks that make software development lifecycle easier. So one example would be, let's say you're working on a MapReduce that will create invoices after an order has been fulfilled. If you were going to test that manually, you'd create a sales order, you'd create a fulfillment, and then you'd trigger the MapReduce, and you'd probably look back at the sales order to check the status. So with Assurance, you can write a test that will do each of those steps. The first one, it'll create a sales order. You just tell it what values to use. You tell it to create a fulfillment, tell it which script you want to call, and then you can evaluate that record you create in the first step and make sure that its status is what you expect. And what that lets you do is now you can run that either every night, every time you make a code edit, maybe right before you deploy a script. So it really unlocks a lot of things once you have that able to run in just a minute without a whole lot of manual effort.
Yeah. When you say write a test, in my head, we're writing code, but that's not the case here, right? When you say write a test with Assurance, what do we?
Yeah. So with the Sweet bundle, you do most of it in the UI. And this is really meant to simplify and make it quicker and easier to write tests. For a simple case, maybe even someone non-technical could write one. So there's a custom record called a test that has a sublist that is steps. And when you make a new test, you get a UI that says, okay, are you setting up data? Are you evaluating data? Are you calling a script? And let's say you're creating data, I'll ask you what kind of record type do you want? Okay, now what value do you want for each field? And it's flexible to where it can take some dynamic values. So in that example I gave in the first step, when you create your sales order, you can store that to basically a variable. So you call that sales order ID. And then in step four, you could say, okay, I want to check the values on sales order ID. And the field I want is status. And I want it to equal, you know, closed or pending bill or whatever you're looking for. So it's takes place in the UI, which is meant to make it easier so you're not writing more code on top of your code change.
Sure. What was the motivation? Why did you start doing this?
Yeah, so when my first job in the NetSuite world was with RF Smart, who is a solution provider that built a WMS that's native to NetSuite. And what was great about that job is they had a big development team. So there were senior engineers who taught me a lot. And because they had a big team and were so established, they were able to invest in a lot of these automated tools. So I got to learn the values of unit testing, of end-to-end testing. And when I took my next job, I went somewhere that did not have any automated testing set up. And so the question was, like, how can I bring that to a smaller team with only two or three devs that can't hire, you know, people to do manual QA full time or write these end-to-end tests for us? We have less resources. What's going to be the easiest way to automatically test our code? And so there's unit testing, of course, and we can talk through some of the drawbacks there. I think when you end up mocking so much of the NetSuite APIs, they're not as valuable as maybe in other circumstances. And so I just got to thinking like, okay, how can we build a framework that is quick to write, easy to use, and doesn't take, you know, hours to get something done. And so that kind of gets into the history of building assurance. At first, I would just write my own sweet script file. So I'd write a new file. I can use the record module to create data. I can use that to evaluate data. I know how to call scripts, but I'd end up writing an extra 200, 300, 400 lines of code just for, in addition to my initial change that I actually want to do. And what I noticed when I would write each of those manual test scripts is I was doing the same things again and again. I've already mentioned them, set up data, evaluate data, call a script. So I figured if I could just put those same steps in the UI and make it point and click so that you don't have to write code, and other folks who are non-technical could run them as well, then that unlocks more opportunities. So really trying to get that balance of effective, but quick to write and easy to maintain.
Yeah, I have a bunch of thoughts on this story there. That's such a, it's such a rough transition to go from like robust automated testing to then nothing at all, back to all manual testing. That is such a dramatic and difficult transition to make if you've ever had to make it. You just feel like, I don't know, you feel like I've made that transition a couple times and always feels like the rug gets pulled out from missing a bunch of stuff. I'm starting over. So bad.
Yeah, and in my case, it wasn't just that we lost the automated testing. We also lost a lot of the manual testing. So I was used to being able to kind of pass the ticket over to QA, who, you know, is a designated resource to test all my changes. And now I have to do a lot of that myself. We probably have less coverage. So yeah. I think for a lot of NetSuite clients today, it's like, do we want to test too little and move too quick, knowing we'll have some bugs, or do we want to kind of test too much, move slower, probably cost more money because you probably have to hire more headcount. So we want to have our cake and eat it too. We want to test everything quickly and cheaply.
And assurance is one step in that direction, right?
Yeah, that's definitely the goal. I think, you know, as someone who uses it myself, I want to keep making it better and better. Test more scenarios, faster, easier to use. But that is the destination.
Tell me a little bit about the sort of technical design of assurance.
I think I touched on a couple of the records. So There's a custom record that is a test that is kind of one thing that will either pass or fail. That itself is made up of steps, and these get run by a MapReduce. And so we're able to call that from different places. We can call that from the UI. There's a button right on the test called run. You click it, it calls the MapReduce, and it will either come back with a green banner if it passes, a red banner if it fails. There's also a restlet that'll call into that. So you can call an API maybe from your terminal while you're working in VS Code or whatever code editor. So you can also get results that way. You can integrate it into a CI/CD pipeline. Maybe you don't want to run an entire test bed if you have, you know, hundreds of tests, but you could run a subset. There's a related record that I made called a tag that lets you put a test in a specific category. So if I'm working on that example I gave earlier, the MapReduce that will invoice fulfillments, that could be part of like order to cache tag. And so anytime I make a change in my order to cache workflow, I can call that group of tests, kind of like a test suite, and see, do they all still pass? Or if it calls into a specific file, like maybe you have a generic library for invoices. Every time I make a change in that file, I want to call my invoices test suite. So you could also give it a tag of invoices. And those are arranged in a hierarchy, so you can really be very granular and specific about what subset of tests I want to run. Each might take maybe 60 seconds, two minutes to run. So you probably don't want to run 100, but it's quick enough that if you have, you know, 3, 4, 5, you can run those without a huge delay.
This show is made possible by the members of the Sustainable SuiteScript community. We are a community of NetSuite developers who help each other grow our skills, our confidence, and our professional networks all at the same time. The best way to show your support for this show is to join the free mailing list at sustainablesuitescript.com. There's a link in the show notes.
What challenges have you run into building this? Have there been any big obstacles you've run into? Hurdles to overcome, that sort of thing? Or has it been smooth sailing?
It's definitely come with its challenges. I think there's the technical challenges and the non-technical. The technical challenges are pretty fun because you learn something new. We're developers. We like to solve problems. A couple in that category would be one of the ways that assurance is flexible is that when you go to specify a value, like I want to set, you know, the customer on the sales order to be, you know, Acme customer, you could specify that. You could specify an internal ID of 10, or if you referenced it in a previous step, you'd call it by that variable. It could be even more flexible where maybe you want to run a query. So that same text box has access to the NetSuite module. So you just do ns.query.runsuiteql, yada, yada, and so on. So it can execute this JavaScript kind of in line. And so getting that to run was a pretty tough technical challenge because I think the way most people would think is, okay, this is going to be a big JSON blob, but all those are going to be like either text or number strings. You can't really put a function inside of there. Right. I could have added like, well, functions are prepended by the dollar sign or something, some kind of escape character, but I want it to feel like people write JavaScript in their code editor. So I had to do a lot of manipulation to kind of give that experience. But I learned some new JavaScript tools. I did a lot of manual manipulation. But that was like a fun technical challenge to solve. So that kind of doesn't really bother me.
Yeah.
The harder part of my project, a lot of the other stuff. So for me, this is somewhere between a side project and a side hustle, which means I have a full-time job to balance. I, you know, in the end destination want to monetize. I think this could be a valuable tool for a lot of companies. And I want to invest the time to make this better and better. And I have so many features I want to implement if I had kind of the time. But what that meant is if I want it to be my own IP, I can't use my employer's dev environment. I had to go out and purchase my own. And NetSuite accounts are not cheap. And I've got, you know, my renewal coming up in a few months. And all that stress of, you know, is it worth the money? Is this going to pay off? Feeling like I'm running out of time. And then just balancing it in addition to life and a full-time job. That's honestly been the number one pain point. But, you know, it is what it is. And I'm working through those two.
Yeah, that's you're in the gambling stage, the huge risk stage, right? You don't know. Don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, and
you can't know unless you put it out there like you're doing today, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely, you know, feel grateful I was in a position to kind of take that gamble. I think absolutely. I've learned so much from being able to work on this. Like, I'd never developed a portlet before. That's just not something the companies I've worked at have asked for. But I was like, you know, I'd be helpful to have a dashboard. And so now I learned about that. There's been modules I haven't used before that now I know. So I'm really grateful I've been able to kind of go for it. It's been a fun adventure so far. I'm excited to see where it goes. And I think it's even helped my career. So, you know, I really wish more folks would be able to have opportunities to kind of take the leap, because it makes you a better developer when you get to work on something big for yourself that you're passionate about, and can kind of take you in new directions, and you learn so much along the way.
Yeah, having that green field, having the full control, like you said, if all you ever do is work for someone else, then your career trajectory, your knowledge just follows their requests, basically, like their needs, not your curiosities necessarily. They might align, but they might not. Yeah, I've never built a portlet, for instance, right? That's exactly the app that you can just do. And when you have the control, you're like, I've never built one. Let's try it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something as developers we really enjoy is like diving into a new area and learning about new problems and how to solve them.
What is if you did have just carte blanche, if you had, you know, you didn't have all the other stuff to worry about, if it was just all the time, all assurance, what's on that roadmap? What are some of the things that you want to add to it, or where are the gaps that you want?
One that I'm working on now is making the form to specify what values you want the records you create, or to verify that specific fields have the values you want. That form could be better. So there's an option to use a nice dropdown where you get a list of like customer names instead of having to enter in a customer internal ID. Mm-hmm. I've had problems with some of NetSuite's APIs there. So the same problems you have if you use a form today, if you try to load a field that maybe links to transaction, you have millions of transactions, it just never loads and your form will bomb out. Well, I have to use those same APIs when I build my form. And so you don't always get that drop down of, okay, I want, you know, this specific value. So I think I could work around that, but that would probably be the biggest thing that makes the customer experience like immediately better. There's performance, like I haven't really optimized for performance yet. I think if more folks start using it and complaining about the performance, like great, know how to use cache and like, mm-hmm. I know how to solve those problems, but it takes time and hasn't been the focus. Yeah. There's some refactoring I would do, but really keep making it easier for the user to do what they want to do, make it faster to run. And there's so many small things down either of those directions that I think you just want to keep getting small win after small win. And then over time, it's like super intuitive to use. It's super fast. And then hopefully everyone wants to use it.
Yeah.
So nothing super groundbreaking, just getting the basics down really well.
Yeah. Nailing that user experience early on is really important if you want. At any kind of traction.
Yeah, I know we've talked about other attempts to do automated testing in NetSuite, and you know, mm-hmm. I haven't necessarily used all of them, but I think that's kind of been the hardest part is how do you make it easy to use? Like, there's multiple ways to do the engine, to do the running the test, but it doesn't really matter what's behind the scenes. I think the biggest reason it remains unsolved is it's hard to make it easy to use, and I think part of that is just when people say like, oh, I want a sales order and I want to fulfill it, there's so many small details that go into that of, okay, what are all these required field values? And is there inventory and this other stuff that it might sound simple to just say, oh, fulfill the order, but there are a lot of those fine details and having to make the user remember all those is hard and part of the friction that I think has kept this problem from really being solved broadly.
Yeah. I feel like regardless of how you do the testing, like executing the test is usually pretty straightforward. Verifying results is pretty straightforward, but setting up the data is always the toughest, especially when you're trying to automate, but even when you're doing it manually, finding good records to test, you know, in your sandbox that's maybe woefully out of date or something like that. Setting up test data is so difficult.
Yeah. One of the fun things that I got to do is build a React app to try to make some of that better, which again, I hadn't done, hadn't been asked for in my day job, but learning how to do React in NetSuite was super fun. And so that gets a step on the way. I think I haven't gotten to do too much front-end development in my NetSuite career. I don't know if you've gotten to do more, but there's so much UX that, you know, if I could work with someone to things, make things look better and not just so black and white. Like, that'd be another fun thing in an ideal world to tack onto assurance.
Yeah. I am of a certain age where I learned to do front end development by hand jamming the raw HTML and CSS. I didn't have any frameworks and or anything like that. They didn't exist yet. So I have actively avoided front end development for my whole career. So I haven't got my hands into React at all. I am curious about that. I haven't used Assurance myself, but you did give me a brief demo. And the React app looks very, it fits like it, you know, it wasn't jarring. The UI was not jarring. It looks like it fits in NetSuite. And I do see that question, whether it's in Slack or on Stack Overflow and places like that. Can I use Angular? Can I use React? Can I use whatever, you know, UI framework in NetSuite? How was that getting React running in NetSuite?
It wasn't too bad. You know, I'm lucky that other folks out there have posted about how to do this. So there was a little bit of needing to look in multiple places, like a Stack Overflow here and a Reddit answer here. So one thing that I've wanted to do is try to unify that and put a video out for other folks who are in my shoes so that there's more of a one-stop shop. And maybe saying that here will give me the motivation to finally put that out. So grateful yeah. for people like you, Eric, who, you know, provide knowledge to the rest of us out on the internet. It's so helpful. But for the most part, when you build a React app, there's a JavaScript file that it builds. And so you can use a kind of like user event and sweetlet combo to inject that HTML or that JavaScript into HTML. And then mm-hmm. it builds it for you. There are a couple other things to make it easy to use, like making sure it always names that file the same name and it automatically uploads it to your NetSuite account, that I think is part of what I'd like to add to what's online in terms of doing React in NetSuite. But after that, it's really fun. It's nice to learn things outside of NetSuite. I think it's good for our careers as well. And I learned React kind of in a hobby way before I learned NetSuite. So it's fun to go back to some roots as well.
To actually apply it. You know, I feel like a lot of times we do that sort of thing. We go explore a new topic, a new framework, whatever it might be. And we sort of do the classic hello world, a little test project, and then abandon it and never touch it again. So it's great to be back and apply what you've learned in a real world used application.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot of fun.
What have I not asked about? What anything else in assurance that you want to talk about that I missed?
I think one, I remember when I was trying to figure out, like, do I want to pursue assurance or not? Like we mentioned, there's a bit of a gamble in terms of getting my own NetSuite account on that. What pushed me over the edge was everything that's happening in AI, which I know is a whole can of worms, but what I think could happen as we have more AI coding agents, if we're able to have them run automated tests for us, then that just makes them even more powerful. So mm-hmm. if I could have an AI agent go write some code and then I test it myself and then I tell it what's wrong and it goes and fixes that, then I test it again. That's a lot less efficient than if the agent itself can write code, run the test bed, see the error message, and redo the code. So I thought with that, you know, possibly being around the corner, the more automated testing we can set up as developers, we're going to get even more and more out of that. So I think we'll see where it goes. But that was one of the things that really excited me about automated testing is letting an agent run them and then take the error messages from them and go fix them themselves.
Have you been trying that out with assurance itself?
No, I really should be. I don't know why I haven't. I feel like I've been just caught up in the things I want to fix. I tried it a while ago. So I tried it like in the fall and don't think the tools were really there. For one, it's, I don't know how much this has changed, but it was hard to have AI be aware of all the files in your repo. So if you have one specific file open, like Copilot knows about that, but it doesn't know about all the other files in the folder. And so it's hard to know what all the files it needs to change are. And I think things are getting better there. I know there's like, I think this spring or like this year, early this year, there have been official agents that will control your desktop for you. So I really ought to go see how it does with assurance now. But I think that could be a really cool outcome if those work together well.
Mm-hmm. I haven't been digging too much into AI coding assistants, but some of the things I have done with them is have them write my unit testing sort of suites or harnesses for me, or at least give me like, what are the test cases? Here's this function or this module. Here's what it's supposed to do. What should I test? What are the test cases I should have? What are the edge cases? What are the boundary conditions? All those sorts of things, and have it spit out basically the template of a test suite. It does this, it does that, when given this, when that, all those sorts of things. And that's been super helpful. It's been really good. It's been really good at spitting out those test sort of templates, leaving me to just fill in the tests, which is fine. Because oftentimes, for me at least, especially writing unit tests, writing the unit test is not that hard. It's usually like you're calling what you have, you set up a little data, you call one function, and then you compare results to what you expect. That's about it. The code for a unit test is usually not that difficult, but coming up with what to test, that's much harder. What are useful, valid, helpful test cases to write? What are the edge cases, boundary conditions, stuff I don't think of? Usually when you're writing unit tests, you sort of tightly couple them to the implementation of what you're testing, and then you test the happy path. That's mm-hmm. like the default. But trying to sort of break yourself from that and think about, what are the things that could break this? What if I completely change the implementation, but the purpose of the function remains the same? I still need the tests, but what if it needs to function or be implemented completely differently? Tightly coupling your tests to that implementation is bad. That's a code smell. So I've tried with Copilot and with WebStorm, JetBrains. I don't know what they call it, JetBrains Assistant maybe. But I've tried with both of those, and they've both been pretty good at generating the test suites, basically. Here are a bunch of cases.
That not is interesting. Perfect,
but they're, yeah. Try it out. See what you think.
Yeah, I haven't been doing much unit testing as of late, just not something that's caught on. Where I'm currently working, and obviously, I think I kind of did the weighing that I mentioned earlier. It's like, do I want to focus on getting unit tests going or more of this integration end to end? Would that be more helpful? And I land on the latter. I should do more unit testing. Like, I think that's a best practice. And it's interesting to hear you say that you use AI to help you figure out the test cases, because that feels like a really good way to find blind spots. Then you can kind of look at each one. It's like, does this make sense or does it not? I get really hesitant about AI writing tests in the first place, because the way I think about it is, I would rather write the test and have the AI write the code than the AI write the test and I write the code. I think you definitely don't want AI to do both. Like, you don't want it to test itself on code it wrote. I think writing tests is quicker. And today, like, Copilot's not writing a whole script for me, but I'm trying to guess at where we'll be, you know, a year or two from now.
Even 6 months, 3 months from now, it's moving so fast.
Yeah, it is moving really fast. And then especially when you get into more like end-to-end testing, like I could have an agent test my code each time. Like it can open up, or it will be able to soon probably, open up a browser, create all these records. And I think the reason that there's a place for assurance doing that instead of AI is that AI is so inconsistent that it might test something right today and tomorrow it might test something wrong. That yeah. I think you want a very static definition of exactly what needs to happen and not have any room for inconsistency. That's definitely not what you want in your test.
You do not want that. Tests have got to be repeatable. You need the same, if you give it the same input, it must give you the same output. AI is not great at that right now.
Absolutely. We'll see where things go. It's an interesting time to honestly be in any job, but I think especially be a developer. I think AI's had the biggest impact in like maybe customer experience, like being on the phone, and then in writing code is where I've seen it have the biggest impact.
Sure. I want to jump back real quick to the decision you mentioned between unit testing to end testing. How did you come to that decision?
I think it was a bit specific to the circumstances of where I'm working now. I think unit testing is really good when you have like kind of a stable architecture. Functions aren't changing that much over time, and each function you have is very modular. It does a very small piece, and they're stable over time. We are redoing a lot of tech debt, and so we can definitely add unit tests to the new scripts that we write. I think ideally we would, but when you're patching old scripts that you're planning to get rid of anyways, it's not necessarily worth the squeeze. I think even more than that, the effectiveness of them is a function of how accurately you mock the API calls. So I've known I've had my unit tests passing and my code actually doesn't work because I didn't pass back the right function or, you know, the right output in my mock. Like when I do a SQL query doing like dot at mapped results, it's going to give a different output than if I forget that. But if I'm returning the same output, regardless of what's in my code, then my unit test is going to pass, but my code still fails. So I think NetSuite's in this interesting spot where pretty much it feels like every other line of code is referencing an API that ends up being all mocks and not a whole lot of, I don't know, useful testing.
I agree with you. For what it's worth, I think you landed on the right spot. You made the right choice in terms of where the maybe the biggest gap is, but also like making unit tests in a UI feels very strange. Like, I feel like that would be way harder than just letting me write the for a unit test. But also, I think you've hit on the much bigger problem that I found with tests. If you are not already breaking down script into small functions, if all your code is in the entry point, for instance, you're never going to be able to. The whole point of a unit test is to test your logic against a bunch of different scenarios and conditions. If you are, the more mocks you have, the more you are not testing your logic, but testing your mocks. And those are not useless. Those are not telling you anything about logic and have to mock a SweetScript API. I have found to get robust unit testing in SweetScript, you have to architect your SweetScript in a specific way, which is basically isolating the actual business logic you want to test from as many NetSuite API calls as you can. That introduces a whole bunch of new layers and architecture, things like that most people aren't doing. And whether that's good or bad, I don't know, but I think you landed in the right spot for sure.
I think what you're describing is ideal. I think sometimes that can be hard to get to, especially depending on what you inherit from, whatever groups came before, how old your NetSuite implementation is. And I know for so long, NetSuite specialized in like these small companies where maybe you only have one developer, and maybe they first learned NetSuite and then learned JavaScript piece by piece. It's hard to know all that architecture up front. Exactly. You're trying to get a job done, and that's probably the right call at the time. And going back and re-architecting everything can be tough to get to. But to your point, as you start writing unit tests, it teaches you as well, oh, I should start architecting this in a way that's easy to test. So even if your architecture is not perfect, if you start the unit testing, it can probably nudge you towards that direction.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And it's also most likely that the end-to-end tests aren't going to change them. Like what use cases are we testing? What are the business processes that we're testing? Those are not that likely to change, or at least not change very much. But unit tests you're going to be adding new ones all the time. As architecture shifts and changes, you're adding new functions, new pieces. You're going to constantly be building up that suite over and over. But probably the overall business cases aren't changing that.
Yeah, like if you move from one...
You're adding new ones, but going back and adjusting old necessarily.
Right. Like if you're rewriting from 1.0 to 2.1, the business logic is the same. The end-to-end test can stay the same, but you'd have to make
unit tests are going to change dramatically. Yeah. Right. Once again, is there anything else you want to touch on? Sure.
I don't think so. We've gotten to talk through some of the technical challenges. Why I care about automated testing so much, and some more stuff. So there's nothing else that I was hoping to cover. It's been a lot of fun having this conversation.
Great. Well, before we sign off here, where can people find out more about you, about Assurance?
Just reach out to me on LinkedIn. My name is David Barr. And yeah, I'm going to be the most responsive there.
All right. Well, then we'll put a link to your profile in the show notes. Want to find out more about Assurance? Hit up David on LinkedIn. Thank you so much, David. Really appreciate you being on the show and telling us all about Assurance.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
That will bring this episode of Sweet Script Stories to a close. If you'd like to get in touch with me about the show, you can email me directly, eric@stoic.software. Join me next time as I continue to highlight interesting people and ideas from around the Sweet Script world. And I'll see you then.